The Philadelphia Church of God presents The Life and Teachings of Jesus Christ with Stephen Fleury.
See, the Word was made flesh and begotten by the Father as a son. He was born of a woman. He divested him of all of his power and divinity and became a single cell in the body of a woman. That is truly mind-staggering. This is what God has planned for man through all this glory. And here's a quote we had in the booklet, The God Family Vision. The Word was the only God who ever came to earth, was begotten by God in a woman and born as a human child. There was a time in the Godhead when the Word was gone. He left to become a single cell within a woman, later a fetus, and then a child. Mind-boggling. What a wonderful, wonderful truth. It's the most wonderful truth in the Bible.
The most wonderful truth in the Bible. That's my father on this program just 4 years ago, talking about the God family vision, expounding upon verses in John 1. Jesus Christ made himself of no reputation. The Word came in the flesh. He divested himself of all of that glory, so that he could take on the form of a servant, as the Apostle Paul wrote, so that he could serve mankind, so that he could be fashioned like a man, and so that he could open up the God family to all of mankind. Hello again, everyone, and welcome back to the life and teachings of Christ. On this program, we carefully examine the only reliable source there is when it comes to Jesus Christ and his ministry, and his teachings, and that would be the Holy Bible. That would be God's Word. All Scripture is given by inspiration from God. Paul wrote that in 2 Timothy 3. The last episode of this program, we talked about Jesus Christ, or the Word that was with God, and we focused in on that word "with" in John 1 and verse 1. And how it denotes the closest, most intimate, most loving relationship there is. And yet, as my father said in that 2022 program, the Word was gone for a time. He came in the form of a man. He came in the flesh. And we'll read that in John 1 on today's program. Just to backtrack a little bit from the last episode, John 1 and verse 1 says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." So John here, he had a long time to think about this message. He wrote his gospel decades later than the other three. And he's taking us back to the very beginning. From the beginning, we've got a booklet online that goes by that name. And you can get to that at our website, lifeandteachings.com. From the beginning. He goes back before even the angelic plan, and he takes us to God and the Word. And then John jumps ahead to, as what my father calls, plan B in the God family vision. He takes us to the family plan. He takes us to mankind and what Christ opened up for all of us. Verse 3, it says, "All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made." God made all things through, or he created all things through Christ, it says in Ephesians 3 and verse 9. "In him was life, and the life was the light of men." That's verse 4 in that PDF on our website, lifeandteachings.com. My father says, "This vision is so mind-stretching that I strain, even as I write, trying to fully understand and get Christ's message to you." You really do have to strain to get this message. We're living in an age where people don't study the printed word. the way that they once did. There are articles coming out now that talk about the end of history or the end of reading. God wants us to dig into, in this case, the Gospel of John, what John wrote. We'll touch on his first epistle in just a moment as well. But do you strain to get to this mind-staggering vision to understand it? So many of God's people in these last days, they've just forgotten it. They've let go of it. They didn't love this truth. Verse 5, it says, "And the light shines in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not." Jesus Christ came into this world as a light to the world. The word for comprehend, if you look in the Greek, it can also mean overtake. The darkness of this world, and it's very dark, it did not overtake Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ illuminated God's spirit, God's lifestyle, God's love. Verse 6, it says, "There was a man sent from God whose name was John, and he witnessed," as it says in verse 7, John the Baptist. Verse 9, it says, "That was the true light, which lights every man that comes into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not." Think about that. God came in the flesh. Jesus Christ was in this world, and it says the world knew him not. I've given so many programs over the years giving you God's assessment of this present evil world, as Paul said in Galatians 1 and verse 4. You can read 1 John 5, where it talks about the wickedness all over the earth. Revelation 12:9 says the whole world is deceived. 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 4 says that Satan is the god of this world. Why aren't there more preachers talking about this? When God looks at this world, this present world, what does he see? He sees darkness. He sees evil. He sees filth. He sees sickness. Read Genesis 6 sometime and see what God said about the world before the flood. God spared just 8 people on that ark because the world was so filthy. He came as a light, and the world, it says, knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. His own people rejected him. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. Did you hear this? The power to become the sons of God? You mean God came in the form of a man. He came in the flesh as God's son. And here it says that he gave power to his true disciples to become sons of God, plural. How come you don't hear this more in the world of Christianity? Sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. In that booklet from the beginning, and as I say, you can get to that at our website, lifeandteachings.com. Very simple. Type it in. Takes you right to the URL. In that booklet, it says, "God has called us to be sons of God, sons of the Father, bride of Jesus Christ." You can back those statements you just heard. You can back them up with dozens and dozens and dozens of scriptures. And yet there's plenty of people in the world of Christianity that would say to you what I'm telling you right now, they would consider it heresy. Sons of God. My father said this is the most exalted honor God can give. That's why we have to really stretch our minds. That's why we have to really dig deep into this subject and study to show ourselves to be approved before God. Notice verse 14, it says, "And the Word," so in the beginning, the Word was with God. And now you get to verse 14 and it says, "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us." John says, he dwelt with us, God in the flesh. "And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." So God was made manifest in the flesh. Paul wrote that in 1 Timothy 3:16. John's talking about it here in John 1. Listen to my father again from another Key of David. This is in 2020, clip 2.
And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father. In other words, Christ was born of a woman whom God had begotten, and that's why it says He was the only begotten of the Father. The Father only did that one time to His own Son. He introduced the God family. See, now it's Father and it's Son. And He's opened that up to billions of people if they want it. And of course, most of them will. But think about what a blessing that's going to be.
He opened up family to all of mankind. When the Word came in the flesh, it became a father-son relationship, a family relationship. Now put that together with Genesis 1 and verse 26, which says that God created us to be in His image, in His likeness. God's plan from the beginning was to reproduce Himself, and this is how it had to happen. In the booklet from the beginning, it says John is reminding himself who this Jesus Christ really was, who He was from the beginning. This is John 1 is the beginning of the biblical narrative. That's what happened at the start. Before mankind, before the angelic creation, before the material creation, you had God and the Word. And this is what John is taking us back to. He was eternal before the angels and the universe were in existence. This is the being the apostles had seen with their eyes and looked upon. You can see this in 1 John 1, the epistle of John. Notice this, 1 John 1 and verse 1. It says, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life. John was decades beyond the crucifixion of Christ, and he was writing about these events as if he couldn't believe it. We saw Him. We're witnesses. We handled Him. We touched Him. We talked to Him. We learned from Him. And it was just 12 disciples, remember? Here's Jesus working with a small group of students. And then when the New Testament church started in Acts 2, well, the previous chapter, Acts 1, says there were only 120 disciples. That's not very many. He came into this world as a light to the world, but the world preferred darkness. Look at what they did to Jesus Christ. Look at how they rejected His message, changed His gospel, distorted the truth. Verse 2 says, for the life was manifested, and we've seen it and bear witness and show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father and was manifested unto us. This is the beginning, from the beginning. My father writes, why is it so important that we have this view? Because it's God's view. The created must get the Creator's view if they themselves are to become creators. This is a mind-staggering vision and purpose. And most people don't understand anything about it. They read right over these verses and spiritualize a lot of things away or just skip parts that they don't agree with or like. This is the greatest vision in the Bible. John's goal was to show to you eternal life manifested in the flesh. He lived eternally with God, and now the people could fellowship with the Father and Son. John was trying to make this mind-splitting message real. So many were losing this understanding. Otherwise, they never would have followed Diotrephes. You can read about Diotrephes, this imposter that worked his way into the true church of God and deceived many of God's people. And so John, the Apostle John, who remained faithful until his death, he was trying to take the brethren of God back to the beginning, back to something they had forgotten. make sure you go to our website, lifeandteachings.com, and start in on the PDF. Powerful, powerful message from the beginning. You can also get to our other materials at our website, thetrumpet.com. And just so that you know, of course, we're offering the literature today online, but anything that we offer in print format, we offer without cost or obligation. We send it out freely. We'll be right back.
Get up to date with the day's most important headlines and learn how the Bible is ahead of the news. Watch Stephen Fleury's daily podcast, The Trumpet Daily. Live streamed weekdays at 11 a.m. Central Time, Stephen Fleury explains world events and where they are headed using Bible prophecy. He also hosts interviews with leading authors, journalists, and thinkers. The Bible explains world news happening now. You can see how. Watch The Trumpet Daily with Stephen Fleury. Bring the Bible into the news each weekday with Stephen Fleury at TrumpetDaily.com. Watch on demand at YouTube, Rumble, Roku, or your favorite podcast app.
Christ's ministry on this earth did not revolve around himself, but it revolved around his Father. Many people disbelieve that. And if you look at John 1 and verse 18, it states that Christ came to this earth to declare his Father. Now, we obviously do follow Christ's example. He commanded that. But still, Jesus Christ declared the Father. And did you know that there's only a little flock of people that actually believe this gospel message, because it is the gospel, and it all revolves around the Father?
That's my Father's program again, back in 2020. And he's commenting there on John 1 and verse 18. We read verse 14. Let's look at verse 18. It says, "No man has seen God at any time, the only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father." Here again, just like that word "with." He was with God. Jesus was in the bosom of the Father, like a loving son should be. And God looked at his son and said, "This is my beloved son." This was the deepest, most intimate, loving relationship there has ever been. And of course, it continues today. The love of the Father. And it says about Christ, he has declared him. He came and declared the Father. Christ did not come with the focus on himself. The true gospel message is not one that's about Christ. It's actually about the Father, the family, the kingdom of God. You can see that in Mark 1, verse 1, and Mark 1 and verse 14. Herbert Armstrong wrote this in one of his books, "The human family is the exact type of the God family. God has bestowed marriage and family life on no other form of life except on humans, whose potential it is to enter the family of God." This is why the Bible refers to Jesus Christ as the firstborn of many brethren. Brethren meaning brothers, sisters, family. You know what firstborn means? It implies that there's a second and a third and a fourth. Many brethren. It's going to be a big family when it's all said and done. Well, in fact, it's not even going to be done. It's just going to continue on out into the universe. That's another subject that we could get into. But you go back to the very beginning, from the beginning, it takes you to God and the Word. And we have plenty of literature that can explain to you, that can teach you how this plan, this magnificent plan and purpose of God is unfolding. It's unfolding right before our eyes. We're drawing near to the return of Jesus Christ and the marriage between Christ and the bride, that is the church, and the establishment of God's family government on this earth. And then the birth of billions and billions of children or brethren into that family of God. It's a magnificent purpose and plan. Last time we plugged the God Family Vision book, This time, I just want to draw your attention to From the Beginning. You can get to that at our website, lifeandteachings.com. Listen to this clip from my father's program in 2023, clip four.
Here is Christ's number one job, is to declare the Father. Why is it such an awesome job to declare the Father? Because the Father is the head of the family. That's his title, Father. And this puts us up on a God level, a God relationship. And it's just something that should cause people to faint just to understand this. This is our future.
As he wrote in the booklet, I gave it to you earlier, he had to really stretch his mind, my father did, to get to the depth of this subject. In Mystery of the Ages, Mr. Armstrong writes, finally, in briefest summary, God is a family composed at present of the two persons of John 1, God and the Word, of course, now Jesus Christ, the Son of God. It's composed at present of two persons, but with many thousands already begotten by God's Spirit in God's true church, soon to be born into that divine family at Jesus Christ's return to this earth. But it's important to note that that's not where the plan stops. That's, in some ways, that's just the beginning. There's so many big subjects here, and I have so little time. Let's just finish over in Colossians 1, verse 12. Notice it says here, giving thanks unto the Father, Paul. Paul was putting the focus on the Father of the family, as Jesus did. Giving thanks to the Father, which has made us meet or suitable to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. We are inheritors. We're to inherit the very same things that Jesus Christ has inherited. You can see that in Romans 8. But it says in verse 13, Colossians 1, who has delivered us from the power of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. Jesus Christ is to be the king of that kingdom, King of kings, Lord of lords. That's how he's described in the book of Revelation. It says here in verse 14, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. This is how it had to work out. Jesus Christ had to come in the form of a man as that lamb sacrifice so that our sins could be forgiven upon repentance and faith. In John's gospel, my father's book, it says, John shows us that God and the Word had to be sacrificed. Only the death of God could pay the terrifying penalty for our sins. The wages for sin is eternal death, and all have sinned. You can read about that in Romans 3 or Romans 6:23, both of them. This is what had to play out. This is what had to happen. And what kind of love does this demonstrate to all of us, to mankind, that God so loved the world, this world filled with darkness and sickness and evil, because it's cut off from God? That happened in Genesis 3. But soon the knowledge of God is going to cover the earth, the entire earth, and everyone will have their minds open to the truth, finally, and be given this incredible opportunity. Notice verse 15, it says, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature? Jesus came, as we've seen, to declare the Father. He's in the image of the invisible God, God the Father. He's just like his Father. Chip off the old block, as they say. But notice the last part, the firstborn of every creature. That's talking about human beings. God didn't offer that to animals. He's offering it to you, to every creature, to be born spiritually into God's family as an eternally living, all-powerful spirit being. Read when Jesus tried to explain this to Nicodemus in John 3. He couldn't understand it. How can you be born a second time? Most people think born again is about just some kind of emotional experience that happens in your heart at a moment. No, it's actually a literal birth into God's family, a second birth. I don't have time to go into John 3 as well. That's a spectacular passage in and of itself. We'll get to that later, though, on one of our episodes. But notice verse 18. It says about Jesus, and he is the head of the body, the church. Christ is the head of the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. Firstborn from the dead. You can read about that in Romans 1 and verse 4. The birth, the spiritual birth, happens at a resurrection from the dead. That's how the rest of us are going to be born into this God family. What a vision, it says in verse 19, for it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. A spectacular purpose and plan. As I say, if you'd like to dig deeper into this subject and really stretch your mind, go to lifeandteachings.com and start reading and studying from the beginning today. That's all we have time for on this program. We appreciate you joining us and hope to see you again next time.
All our literature is available free of charge at no cost or obligation to you. To request the free literature on today's program, visit lifeandteachings.com.